Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to continue our series here on giving to the Lord and taking authority over our finances. And beloved, we've looked at lots of scripture the last couple of weeks about giving and receiving. And the anchor scripture the last couple of weeks was Luke 6:38, and it says, "Give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, good measure, it shall be given into your bosom, and with the measure you measure out, it shall be measured unto you." And that is a command, that is a promise. We're commanded to give, but it's also a promise that we're going to be receiving back. And so we receive from God. He loves us. He is a giving God. You cannot outgive God. He wants to bless you. He wants you to give so he can bless you. But he also wants you to participate in kingdom projects, in seeing the kingdom move forward with your giving, so that you can be attached to that where your giving goes. And the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. And so when you give into the kingdom, when you support ministry, when you support the local church, when you give to the poor, all of these things are kingdom ventures, kingdom projects. When you do that, then God says, "Oh, I love that, and I'm going to return the blessing to you in the same measure that you have measured it out." And so if you give with a generous heart and you give generously and with a big measure, a big scoop, then God is going to give you back a big measure of blessings. And if you're very stingy or miserly with your giving, then he's only going to give you back a small portion. And that is the law of the harvest. That is the law of sowing and reaping. That is the law that governs everything in the kingdom. We do everything in the kingdom by faith, and we also do it by our love for the Lord, our love for Jesus Christ, our love for the Father. And so he sees our heart, he sees our love for him, and so he blesses us according to the way that we bless the kingdom. Well, in keeping your vows, the subject for today, I have a couple of scriptures here before we get to Acts, the fifth chapter. And these scriptures are in regard to keeping your vows to the Lord. And it applies not only to keeping your vows in terms of financial arena, in terms of your gifts and tithes and offerings, but it also entails keeping your vows in terms of work projects or anything that you commit to the Lord, a vow to follow through and a vow to do something for the kingdom, a vow to do something for your fellow man in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father. And so keeping your vows is very important to God, and he speaks about it in several of the scripture. Ecclesiastes 5:4, Solomon says, "When you make a vow to God, do not be late paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow." Well, that's pretty direct. He's just saying that don't make a vow to God and then back off, back away from it, forget it, tend to disregard it. When you make a vow to God, keep that vow to the very, very utmost of your possibility, to the utmost of your strength and your commitment. Keep that vow so that God sees you are a man of your word, a woman of your word. And so when you make that vow to the Lord, do not be late in paying it, for God takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. Deuteronomy 23 Verse 21, same thing. "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you." And so the writer of Deuteronomy here, Moses, he says basically the same thing. When you make a vow to the Lord, pay it, because he calls it a sin. And the Lord is going to, he's going to require it of you. He's going to get it from you somehow, some way. You're not going to escape when you make a vow to the Lord and then you disregard it, and many, many people, I've been guilty of this myself, you get in a bind of some kind, or you have trouble and distress in your life, and you make all kinds of vows to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to read my Bible every day for 1 hour. I'm going to pray for an hour. I'm going to go to church and never miss. And we make vows to God. And beloved, be very careful of that. Do not make vows to God unless you fully intend to follow through and you fully intend to make good on the vow that you vow to God. God takes it seriously. He knows if you're mocking Him or if you're just telling Him something that He wants to hear, and it's not really in your heart to follow through and to do that. And so God takes it very seriously, and we need to take it seriously as well when we make a vow to God. Follow through and pay it so that it will not be sin in you. Many times in Africa, when we go over there with mission teams, short-term teams, people make promises to people in Africa that they don't keep. They promise to give them a camera or a cell phone or a laptop or something like that. And I have to be very, very careful when I'm around the African people that I don't make a vow to them or tell them I'm going to do something for them and then not follow through, because it breaks their heart. It makes them think that I'm not a man of my word. And also it makes them think that God is not important to me, because God will not help me to get those things for them. And so it really diminishes the impact that I have when I make a vow to them or a promise to them and I don't follow through with it. Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." And so again, the writer of the psalm there, David, says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the God Most High. And so we are encouraged again to pay our vows and be very careful. It's part of disciplining the mouth. It's part of disciplining the tongue and disciplining your mind so that you are able to follow through when you promise something. And it's just as important, if not more so, when you make a vow to those around you, your spouse, your children, people who work with you. When you make a vow to them, just make a habit of following through and taking care of that vow and making sure that it gets taken care of so that you don't have any guilty conscience about it. You don't feel bad about it when you think back about it years later, that you are not burdened by it, that your conscience is clean. And so that is God's will for us when we are giving money into the kingdom. In Acts chapter 5, there's a great story here about Ananias and Sapphira, two people who were Christians, who were baby Christians, because this is the new church, the baby church, the New Testament church. And a little bit of preamble to this story. It's about making a vow to the Lord and giving into the kingdom. And it actually starts in chapter 4 in verse 34 when the writer of the book of Acts, we believe it to be Luke, was talking about the new Christians and how they took care of each other, how they treated each other. And all of this I'm discussing in light of the subject matter today, which is giving to the kingdom and our financial responsibilities, our financial obligations to give to the kingdom. And so we have here in Acts chapter 4, verse 34, "Nor was there anyone among the new Christians who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." Well, some people have extrapolated from this scripture that God is in favor of socialism or communism. That isn't the case. That isn't what this scripture is speaking about. The people had the desire to sell, but they also were working, and they didn't all have to give all of their money into the socialist pot. They didn't have to give all of their money to the state and then the state disperse it to every person equally. That wasn't how it worked. These people voluntarily worked, they voluntarily gave, they voluntarily sold. All of these things were not directed by the state, and these people gave willingly with a joyful heart, and they gave willingly because they saw that brothers and sisters of theirs needed things. Brothers and sisters needed food, they needed shelter, they needed clothing, and so that is the same program and plan for us. We're not dictated to by the state that says we have to sell our house and give all of our money into the state so the state can disperse to the homeless or to the poor or to the needy. And we're not dictated to by the state as to what job we can take. If you can make $1 million, praise God, I bless you. If you can make $100,000, praise God, I bless you. If you can only make $10,000, that's good too. Make that. What I don't bless and what God does not bless is for us to sit around and expect somebody else to take care of us when we have the ability to work and we have the body able to work. Then God expects us to get out there and do the work and make the money, and then we have that money that we can willfully give. We can give to the church, we can give to the poor, we can give to our own families, take care of our bills and such, and that's God's will, then, that each person be in charge of their own financial situation. Well, a certain man, this is in Chapter 5, verse 1, a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this is a conspiracy. We see right away here in verse 1 that Ananias and his wife Sapphira are both aware of what's going on. They're both aware of the selling price. They're both aware of the fact that they're asking it to be sold and that they had agreed then that they were going to give a certain amount to the kingdom and lay it at the apostles' feet. And so they're in agreement that this is going to happen. So they sold this certain piece of property and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Well, Peter is speaking here with a word of knowledge. God has given him a word of knowledge, 1 Corinthians 12, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Word of knowledge is one of those gifts, and it comes with the receiving of the Holy Spirit, that we can have a word of knowledge about people, and we can know things about them supernaturally that we would not know otherwise because they have not told us or nobody else has told us about this situation in their life. And so we can know things about people supernaturally, which Peter had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we can know things supernaturally about people that we can only know because the Holy Spirit has told us. And so Peter is getting right to the chase here. He's cutting right to the chase. And he says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit had counseled Ananias and Sapphira to put this piece of land, this piece of property up for sale. And the Holy Spirit had counseled them then also to give the proceeds to the apostles. And so when they gave the land up for sale, when they put the land up for sale, the money came in, but then they decided to hold back part of the money and to not give everything that they had agreed to give and to lay at the apostles' feet. And so Peter cuts right to the chase. He says, why has Satan filled your heart and you keeping back part of the price of the land for yourself? Do you understand, beloved, that without the blessing of God, this land would not even have sold? Without the blessing of God, they probably wouldn't have had this land in the first place. And so, you know, when you sell a land, when you sell a house, when you sell a car, when you sell some major article or item from your household, give God thanks, give Him the glory, take your tithe to the offering plate after you sold it, and give God the glory that you had this piece of property, or you had this article, this item, and give God the praise and honor that He's due, and also thank Him for the sale. I remember one time my wife and I put a house up for sale, and we didn't even hardly advertise it. We didn't make any effort or strain to show it or paint anything up or fix anything up. Somebody just came one day. We had a sign up, and somebody just came one day, found out it was for sale, and they looked through the house. I was actually working on a car out in the garage. I didn't even walk through the house with them. They went in and looked around, and they agreed to buy the house at the price that we had listed for that particular piece of property. And so there was no effort on our part. God orchestrated everything because He wanted us to be blessed. He wanted us to be able to clear up that situation. And so God orchestrated the sale, and He's the one that accomplished it. And so Peter goes on to say to Ananias here, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control?" He's talking about the money that you received from this house. "Was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Well, he hadn't lied to men because he hadn't even spoken to Peter about it. Peter was acquiring this revelation from the word of knowledge. But Peter accuses Ananias of lying to God and lying to the Holy Spirit. Well, the worst is yet to come here, verse 5. "Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." Well, that was the end of Ananias. Beloved, I'm thankful that God is a merciful God, and God is a God of loving kindness, and that He doesn't strike us all dead every time we lie to the Holy Spirit or lie to Him. He gives us a second chance, sometimes a third and a fourth chance. And by the grace of God, I'm still standing today. I'm still breathing today, but I've had many similar opportunities to Ananias when God rightfully so could have struck me dead and my life would have been over at that time. And then verse 6, it says, "The young men arose and wrapped Ananias up, and they carried him out and they buried him." So that was the end of Ananias. Then in verse 7, "Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' And she said, 'Yes, for so much.' And then Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things." Well, I'm sure great fear would come upon those who heard these things. And so God made a test case or an example out of Ananias and Sapphira. And both of them, because they conspired together and they lied to the Holy Spirit and they lied to God, and then they also lied to men, they lied to Peter, they bought the money that was left after they took out what they wanted for themselves, they brought the leftover to the apostles and laid it at their feet, at Peter's feet. And so Peter knew, he was discerning, and he knew by the gift of knowledge that he had been given that they had stuck a bunch of this money in their pocket, and they did not give the full amount that they had vowed to give to the Lord. And so a very, very tough lesson for Ananias and Sapphira. And again, I'm sure we've all been in that same situation where we made vows to the Lord, and then we shortchanged the Lord. I don't know why God chose to single out Ananias and Sapphira. I'm sorry in a way that he did, but I'm thankful that he has not chosen to single me out on the times that I've failed the Lord. But the point of this whole story is this: when you make a vow to God and you promise God such and such from the sale of an item, or promise him a certain amount of work that you're going to do, or promise him you're going to contribute to the kingdom with your tithes, your offerings, your time, your work. Maybe it is that you're just going to spend time in prayer. And I've been very lax about this myself, and I'm sure all of us have, that we say we're going to spend a certain amount of time in prayer each day, and then we back away and we don't spend that time, or we say we're going to spend an hour in Bible study, and then over time we back away and we don't spend that time. Well, beloved, don't make your vow to the Lord. Just do what you intend to do without making a vow, or if you do make a vow, follow through, contribute to God what you've pledged to Him, contribute to God what you intended to give Him, and you will be blessed for it. He will then give you the blessings and the return that you have coming from your contribution. Well, Paul goes on to say over in 2 Corinthians 7, he's talking about those the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, and yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Well, these people were very poor in Macedonia. Paul is making a point here that out of their poorness, out of their poverty, out of their situation in life where they didn't have much, their liberality overflowed and their joy overflowed in giving some gift to Paul. He doesn't say what the gift is. He doesn't say how much it was, or even if it was money, although we assume it was some kind of money. And Paul makes comment to it, or he makes reference to it, that he takes his gifts and he gives it to, or distributes to churches in Jerusalem and other places. So Paul, everywhere he went, he was a carrier of gifts from one church to another. He blessed churches that he had relationships with, and he blessed them so that those churches that were poor would receive from those who had abundance, and vice versa, those who had abundance would willingly and freely give to those who had not much. And so that is our model, that is our example. Beloved, when God blesses you and you have a good job and you have all of your expenses taken care of, your family's taken care of, your household is taken care of, I beg you to look around, see what the kingdom is doing in your area, see what the kingdom is doing in your local church, see what God is doing in missionaries and in worlds apart from here, third world countries and places where maybe you've never been, but you may want to go someday. But in the meantime, you can support people that are working there. You can bless those who have very little. You can bless those that have nothing. And there will be a time, beloved, maybe when you don't have much and you don't have an excess, or maybe you can't even pay the bills. And God will bless you through another believer who puts money in your hand or money in your pocket, or God will bless you because you're the recipient of some church benevolent fund or a ministry benevolent fund. I've sent money to people in Kenya. Year ago, they were in a deep famine over there. They had not had good rainfall for months and months. The corn crop was a total failure, and they don't have grain bins over there to store up grain. Their situation is more of a hand-to-mouth situation. They live by each year's harvest. They get two harvests each year, but they live by the harvest, what they harvested in December, they're living off of now, and what they harvest in July, they'll live with that up until December. And so I was sending money to them, and beloved, the church was passing out this money each and every week. People were coming to the church to get maize and to get beans and that type of stuff. And so when you have an excess, share it with people in the kingdom, share it with the poor. Jesus said you will always have the poor with you. You will always have those who have need. You'll always have those who have wants and can't take care of their needs. And so here in America, we're very blessed to have an excess of money. We're blessed to have an excess of food most of the time. We're blessed to have an excess of clothing and shelter. And so I urge you to look around to see what the kingdom is doing and see how you can participate with God and bless those who are less fortunate than yourself. Well, Gather the Outcast, we are doing a lot in Africa, not to boast. I'm just telling you, we are doing a lot in Africa to help the poor over there. I have a project going with a preschool over there. We're blessing the children with food every day and with uniforms, with shoes, paying the teacher's salary, paying the rent for the building, paying for the firewood, the sugar, everything they need for food to feed the children each day. And we're also building an orphanage for 40 children out there at Makunda, a few miles away from the preschool. And we're also giving money to people on a random basis that we see that are very destitute, very broke. We have a few micro business loans out to help people get loans to start small businesses, salons, or farming enterprises, or a photography enterprise in one situation. And so we're doing a lot to help the poor. I'd like to do much more. I'd like to be able to feed thousands of orphans. And I'd like to be able to build more than one orphanage, build several orphanages, and see the children of Kenya taken off the streets who are in jeopardy and who are in precarious situations, and be able to bless them with the blessings that God has for them. We can do this all through your help. We can do this all if you'll join Gather the Outcasts either as a monthly partner or a one-time gift. And not only to keep this radio broadcast on the air, but to participate and see the kingdom move forward through Gather the Outcasts in 6 countries in Africa. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week.